The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
Hey there, classmates. Tune in to Middle Class Film Class every Monday and Wednesday for weekly movie news, streaming picks, and one deep dive review.
The Batman trailer. There was a teaser. There was a trailer. Trailer 1, trailer 2. Final trailer? I don't know if it's the same one. How many trailers do we need?
Exactly. Leave an email or a voicemail to join in the discussion.
Bullshit artist!
Yeah, buddy!
All right. You're going full Danzig.
Right, I am. My trans
you have no power over me.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 354. I hope all is well with you, and thank you very much for checking out this episode of the PVD Cast. I've been talking about it for the last couple of shows, I believe, that I would be releasing very soon some of the audio and video footage from this past September at the Monroe Pop Fest. As you know, I was one of several individuals to help produce the panels for this year's show, and I am so excited to present this one to you because it's Wrestling in Comics. That is the name of the panel, and you know me. I love comics. I love wrestling, and it was so much fun to sit down with Al Snow, Rhino, and the guys from Broken Icon Comics, Nick Wetland and Eric Watkins, as we talked about The Ballad of Al Snow and Head, The Adventures of Al Snow and Head featuring Chavo Guerrero Jr., and a lot more. And as a side note, if you want to hear a little more in-depth conversation about Broken Icon Comics, Eric Watkins was on episode number 322 from this past spring. So go back to the archives, check it out, give it a listen. This is one fun, rowdy, rambunctious panel. I mean, the room was filled to capacity. Al Snow, Rhino, Nick, Eric, and myself just had a great conversation. So again, I'm so proud to bring it to you. And I have plenty more coming from Monroe as I'm going to be releasing these throughout the next few weeks. Again, both in an audio version and also in a video version. So you're going to have to keep your eyes out for that. But before I throw it to the conversation that I had with Rhino, Al Snow, Nick, and Eric, I need to let you know about an awesome sponsor of this podcast. I'm talking about World's Greatest Comics. You hear me talk about it every single episode, how awesome World's Greatest Comics is. And you know what? There's only one way to prove that I am not just saying a bunch of malarkey. You can go over to the store. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio, and you can see that they have everything for your comic book fandom. Single issues, graphic novels, collections, hundreds upon hundreds of back issues, toys, collectibles, they got you covered. So, as I mentioned, you can stop by the store, but if that's a little bit inconvenient for you, we'll just use the internet to check out the store. WGComics.com is their website, and they're pretty darn active on their Facebook page. Just search for at WG Comics. And I'd like to thank Jeff and all the fine folks at World's Greatest for being a great sponsor. I truly do appreciate it. All right, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, you're going to hear the Wrestling and Comics panel from the Monroe Pop Fest. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, please give a nice welcome to Mr. Al Snow, one of our beloved guests. Nick Wetland as well.
Well, they're at the table watching the stuff, so.
Have a seat, Al. Have a seat. Right. We're still waiting here.
Well, it depends on your TV set as to how big I am. You know? Put me on a drive-in movie theater screen. I'm fucking enormous. Oh, and I hope there's no kids in here.
There's one, but that's okay. One.
Because I curse a lot.
Probably nothing they've ever heard of.
I don't know. I'm pretty creative.
How you doing today?
If I were any better, I'd be jealous of myself.
Oh, okay. Well, enough said.
We get to use it.
It's not on yet.
It's not on.
Yeah. It's kind of like it's, you know. Like my love life, it's hard for me to get to.
Right on, ladies and gentlemen.
There we go. Who is Rhino?
Yeah.
Hey.
How are you?
Not better now.
I gotta say, I'm a little upset about your decor. I was expecting a panel room to be full of paneling on the walls. I don't know why that went out of style in homes. That's bullshit.
How about conversation pits?
Conversation pits
in the 70s.
Beanbag chairs. Even though if I got in a beanbag chair, I wouldn't be able to escape now at my age.
All right, well, let's talk about wrestling.
I'd be trapped there and have to poop my pants.
I'd say yeah.
Thank you.
But you wouldn't let him forget it, right?
Yeah, but if I fell down, I wouldn't be able to get back up, so
we'd both be stuck in the beanbag chair.
Right. You need one of those.
Some weird homoerotic knot.
You need one of those, I've fallen and can't get up buttons.
It would look like snakes mating, you know what I mean? Rolling in a knot, limbs everywhere askew. Anyway, never mind.
All right, well, let's talk about wrestling and comics, and the first thing we're going to discuss real quick is with Nick. Nick, part of Broken Icon Comics,
yep.
And you have produced two wrestling-themed comics, the first one being The Ballad of Al Snow and Head, and the second one being The Adventures of Al Snow and Head featuring Chavo Guerrero. So could you tell us, how did this project get off the ground?
Really, it's all thanks to Eric here. He's been a lifelong wrestling fan. He actually used to run a show called Tricon, and through that ended up becoming friends with a bunch of wrestlers and Al Snow here. He's the driving force behind it, writing it and everything. I'm happy enough to come along and help edit and do stuff.
And I got to tell you, you know, Nick's being very modest and also not very talkative, but so I'll take over. Since getting involved with them, I mean, I could not be more proud of what Nick and Eric are doing and the amazing, like, seriously, like, the, because I'm a big comic book guy. You know, hey, I'm speaking. And the work that they do on it and the quality and the artwork is, you know, each story has its own unique style of artwork and all of it's just incredible and really amazing. And Eric writes and edits the. She and I are gonna fight. This is important. This stuff out there not important.
Carrie's got us. He's got
the cover. You know, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Just so you all know, I have conversational ADD. So you know, but I always come back to where I started. Anyways. Back to those guys. And if you haven't checked it out, I mean, I can't encourage you enough to check it out. Not because I'm in the comic book, which is kind of, that's really cool. I mean, it really is. But it's because it's not just a wrestling comic. It's not based solely on wrestling. It's we do all these ridiculous adventures and things like that. And, you know, the first one, The Ballad of Al Snow and Head, is in a post-apocalyptic world, and where I think I'm a, here's the key, I think I'm a private detective running my own detective agency. I overhear that a young lady has lost her heart to a man. I assume it's because it was stolen. Meaning her physical heart was stolen, and I'm gonna go retrieve it. And I do retrieve an actual physical heart for it, which kind of creeps her out. and then the second one, in the Adventures of Al Snow and Head with Chavo, it's Chavo and his stick horse, Pepe. In a Western, doing a Western adventure. And the artwork's so brilliant because you see me riding a horse and Chavo riding Pepe, and you
never see his feet on the ground because there's always dust or whatever. So you don't know if he's really riding the horse or not. He's just running along with it. So, which he'd have to be really fast to keep up with me on a horse. He's incredibly athletic, but I think that's where we've stretched it just a bit too far. So I would really, guys, check it out. It really is an awesome comic. It really is.
Eric and Nick, is there ever like a problem that you have while you're writing or you're illustrating the comic where you're like, okay, this is a fight scene and we're going to add in some wrestling to it? Is it hard to get everything correct? And or do you guys do a fairly good job of doing it correctly, and then Al goes, oh, yeah, that's exactly how it would go or whatnot?
If it's wrong, he'll tell us.
Okay.
100% if it's wrong, he'll tell us. We try to be as authentic with it as we can. We always tell everybody it's not a wrestling comic. It's a comic with a wrestler. So the side note to it is the wrestling, but, I mean, like, you'd be a little disappointed if, you know, you had Al Snow and Chavo Guerrero and they didn't, you know, double gimmick somebody with Head and Pepe. So... But Al's really good at telling us if we've messed up, and so far, to our credit, we haven't messed up yet. We've done pretty well. But he doesn't hesitate to tell us if something's wrong, and because one of my big things is making sure that the conversation between Al and Head is natural. It's if you turn TV on.
I mean, somebody talks to you, you talk back, right?
Yeah, so like, that's where the biggest change comes in, is making sure that his conversations with Head sound like they should and that you remember.
Okay. Yeah, very, very true to the characters that you know from TV, even in these different settings. So like another Adventures with Al Snow and Head, I team up with Tommy Dreamer, but it's a completely darker story, and it's in Prohibition era time frame, and with gangsters and lots of murder. So, you know, and then with Jesse Godders, it's a completely different story, different vibe. And, you know, it's where we introduce my favorite gimmick, which was the Swarm, which are tiny little me's all dressed alike, attacking people at my command. So I have our own army of midgets.
Well, you mentioned Al and Rhino. I'm going to ask you as well. You guys, you mentioned you're a fan of comics. Are you a fan of comics as well, Rhino?
Not as much as I used to be, you know, because as I got older and I geared more towards, you know, becoming a pro wrestler, the focus went on that and working out. And, you know, sometimes, you know, you get away from certain things. But I do enjoy them when I do pick them up and stuff like that.
Do you have a favorite character or book? Or?
Well, I think that would go more towards, like, superheroes like Spider-Man or, you know, like a Batman or something like that. So I think Batman. Who here says Batman's not a superhero? Everybody's like, oh, he's not a real superhero. He's a rich guy.
He's the first real superhero. Because he's the only one that has to put himself at personal risk. Superman, big deal.
Thank you.
So we can all agree that Batman's a real superhero,
yes,
right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yes. His bank account's the real hero.
Yeah. That too, yes. I even got my wedding ring that's got Batman symbols on it.
Nice, nice. But no, I think, you know, comic books like that, and, you know, it just, you know, more interests me.
Al, who are some of your favorite characters, favorite comics?
Clearly Batman.
Okay.
Clearly. I like them all. If they're very well written, the level of writing over the last 10, 20 years has just went exponentially up. I mean, the sophistication, you know, they're not written for the main audience being just children, you know, you know, granted, it was simpler times, so they were written in a much more simpler and direct way. But now the depth of that they add to the characters and the create the relationships, the real interpersonal relationships in a superhero setting the storytelling is just awesome. You know, Jeff Johns, Mark Miller, you know, Christopher Priest when he had his run on Black Panther.
Yeah.
So good. I mean, really good. So I love them. I've always been a reader. I've read all my life, and you know, when you're on the road and you got nothing else to do, a lot of times I'll just sit and read, and I love to read comic books. So You know, I'm a nerd.
It has often been said that there are similarities between pro wrestling and comic books. Very much. Do you two agree with that?
Absolutely, yeah.
Because it's all about the storytelling and making the fans, you know, become engrossed in what you're doing. And yeah, much like when you pick up an issue of Batman or whatnot.
Regardless of the forum of how you tell a story, regardless, because the art, the real art of professional wrestling is the art of physical storytelling within the context of a competitive situation. That's what the real art of it is. And regardless of how you tell a story, it's always the same. Whether you write a book, you write a comic book, you do a screenplay, you do a play, they all come down to that you have to have an antagonist, you have to have a protagonist, and you have to then create a context, an environment, and a challenge for your protagonist to achieve that your antagonist is trying to prevent, and then, you know, build towards that outcome. And that's exactly the same thing that we do in wrestling. And the similarities, you know, all of us wear brightly colored outfits, and the superheroes do. And, you know, basically professional wrestling really is nothing more than a live action comic book.
That, actually,
go ahead.
Speaking of that, I want to wrestle Catwoman. Michelle Pfeiffer, what was that, Batman Returns?
Oh, yeah.
Jeez, I was coming to age on that. Yeah. I think I'm wise in one, you know.
I lied. I think I came to age right there in the movie theater.
Still talking about maybe some different mediums as well. Rhino, I read somewhere, and maybe correct me if I'm wrong.
I'd like to fall into a beanbag chair with Michelle Pfeiffer.
Wouldn't be funny to get out of that beanbag chair.
Right, correct. Like, I can get up, but I'm not going to. Yeah.
To my question, is it true you've been in like 10 different wrestling video games?
Yeah, something like that. I don't really keep
track. You don't
track.
Keep tabs?
Yeah,
okay.
So I started playing video games, but my ex-wife ruined that, along with many other things. we bought a video game, and I was never a big gamer, you know, because you're out there, you know, on the road doing things, and it was ECW, and she was always Dawn Maria Francine, and she just kicked the shit out of me. And it's like, so it kind of took the fun out of it, you know. It's like, hey, great, you won, but it's like, you know, like, she's like, he got beat by a girl. I'm like, okay, it's not that bad, you know, but, you know, come on, at least let me win, you know. But she would never, and it was kind of like, ah, that sucks, I don't want to play these games again. But yeah, so.
You're still not a big video gamer? Now?
No, they're cool. Like my daughter, I bought her a system, and, you know, she'd play Back to the Future game, and then we'd play baseball, stuff like that I enjoy. But, you know, by the time you do, you know, life sometimes gets, you know, get caught up in life, you know, getting on the road, and then your other hobbies. Like I have a marina, and I work on old wooden boats, so I really enjoy that. So by the time you're done with that, you know, sometimes you're doing 18-hour days. We all know what long days are. You know, you just want to go to bed, and, you know, so.
Or fall on a beanbag with yourself.
That I'll pull double, triple.
Okay, I have to ask, how'd you get into restoring old boats?
Just a passion, because, you know, I love history, and, you know, that's a part of American history that, you know, once it's gone, it's never coming back. I love old lineman boats, and this is something I'd like kids to hear, you know, even adults, you know. When I was a kid, I used to go walking around, and we never had money growing up as kids, you know, our family, but my dad always had boats. We wouldn't go on vacation. We always had an old wooden boat we'd work on, or a fiberglass houseboat, and this was in Port Clinton, Ohio, and I'd go for walks, and I'd daydream, and I seen this old wooden lineman boat, and at the time, they were starting to be phased out because fiberglass boats. And I always thought, like, I'm doing the math. I'm like, it's $1,200. My parents don't have money, but maybe I can borrow the money from my grandma. I'm adding all the money I'm making from my paper out, and I'm like, no way I can swing it. But I always thought, you know, one day I'll buy that. And then when I became old enough, was able to afford a boat, I just bought a fiberglass boat. And then I never lost that love and passion for it, kind of like us with comics or wrestling or what. We never lose. Sometimes it's just like, oh, fuck, the product sucks, or the product's great, or whatever. You know, sometimes we come back around, but we never lose that love. And that was the same thing with old wooden boats. And then I eventually bought one, and then, you know, I started figuring one that was already done. And I've always worked on my own stuff, so then I started buying ones that, you know, you need to put a little work in. And, you know, and once you're done and you have that finished product, you've accomplished something. You know, and we all know what it's like to accomplish something, whether it's a comic book.
Not yet.
Yeah, if, right. I'm
still working on Michelle Pfeiffer.
So, and that's where the real love and passion accomplishment, and, you know, and it's always better to buy one that's done, because if you're working on it and spending money to have people work on it and stuff, it always costs more. So buy one complete. And they're not as maintenance heavy as people think. You know, as long as you take care of it, they'll outlast, you know, us, unfortunately. You know? So.
Let's go back to Eric and Nick for a moment. In future episodes and future issues of The Adventures of Al Snow, any like sneak peeks of some other wrestlers maybe that are going to show up?
Yeah.
I mean, is Rhino going to show up?
I have.
I actually wanted to speak to him about that today.
Yeah. Oh. I talked to Rhino and Heath at Indianapolis, and Heath told me he was going to get back with me, and we've been waiting a long time. So. He's from West Virginia. I'm from West Virginia. I wanted to do something because I love working with West Virginians. Yeah. But yeah, we've got. We're working with Tommy Dreamer, Jesse Godders, who's down at OVW, was on TNA. We're working with Cal Hero, who's done a lot of AEW Dark stuff. He's down at OVW as well. Scotty Too Hottie is working with us. We signed Adam Shear, who's Braun Strowman. And WWE, when he went back, allowed us to keep the contract, so we didn't lose our contract with him. So even though he's back in WWE, Triple H and Brian James is letting us keep doing the project with him. So that'll be fun. And then we've talked to a million people. Maven is going to come into one of the books.
Ricky Steamboat's
going to come into one. We talked to the New Age Outlaws. So the New Age Outlaws want to do something. So there's a bunch of different people that we're working on doing projects with in what we call the Snowverse, which is what we call the universe, the comic universe that we've got going on. The beautiful thing about... Yeah, I mean, since it takes place in Al's head.
Which one?
Exactly. Nothing is off limits. We can go anywhere, anytime, any setting, and then just reset with the next book because he's imagining in the whole thing. It's like a fever dream. and that's all done.
It's real to me.
Nick does a great job with, like, because Nick's what brings the book to life. And, you know, he always tells me that coloring it is like coloring a fever dream. It's like, imagine what you would see if you were having a fever dream, and that's how we're going to bring this book to life.
So. Now I live my life.
Well, you know what, Eric and Nick, I think that I would not be doing justice if I did not ask you to talk about some of your other quick projects that you have going on.
Yeah, I've done a little bit of work on Turtles. Currently, we've got a ton of stuff in the work. Eric and I co-wrote a couple of books that are coming out. Wickhaven Horror is coming up. Classic monster story, kind of like a doppelganger kind of thing, set in the Depression era. That's really cool. We've got a book with Tommy Patterson coming up here someday called Desecrated Sails, which is it's like a supernatural pirate kind of story. It's a lot of fun. I've got a horror book also coming out called Stay, about some children that get lost in the woods in Eastern Europe and get lured into this place where people are feeding on children. It's pretty creepy. It's a lot
what,
of fun.
What
Congress?
What did Al say?
Congress.
Oh, yeah.
Hollywood.
What time period?
We kind of left it a little bit ambiguous, but we were kind of trying to place it within like the fallout of the Cold War, where there were like territories that are kind of up for grabs, and people weren't really sure, and there's just like people moving around.
Oh, cool.
And we have a new book getting ready to come out called The War Chest, which takes battles and wars throughout the world's history, and we throw monster twists to them. We really kind of went back to... This upcoming year, we're going back to the roots. We founded the company 12 years ago. It was founded as a horror company. So we got away from that for a long stretch. And so this upcoming year, we're getting ready to go back to it. So War Chest, it's like going to be like a 200-page hardcover. It's got a story from the Bosnian War. There's one from Vietnam. There's one from World War I. And then going forward, there's stuff all the way back to the 9th Hispania in Britain. The War of Independence in Israel, and the Revolutionary War in the United States.
Yeah, Porter was always one of our very first true loves, and as the comic industry has changed so much over the years, especially with everyone kind of switching over to manga and everything to kind of get their hero fix, I feel like one of the last bastions of true American independent comics is the horror comics. I don't think they've ever truly gone away, and I think the good ones will always still rise to the top, no matter what else
and
is going on.
We're pulling the Snowverse into it, too. In the third issue of Ballad, it's more like Sphere or Event Horizon. Like, we put Al in a straight horror situation. It starts off just like any other book where it's quirky and fun and light, and just a short time into it, I mean, we go deep and dark inside the book, so even he'll have a horror book coming out that what I would consider is true to classic horror.
And who doesn't love horse, right? horror.
Yeah.
Sorry, that's a whole thing. I was really getting kind of excited. I got a book with horse on there. That's awesome.
Are they in there alphabetically, like by name?
Like, the book yeah, yeah, I mean,
you got to have some organization.
Exactly, you gotta keep track of them somehow. Usually, just
how does the Godfather do it?
I don't know. I have to give him a call. He's got lots of horses.
Well, actually, Al,
he's a farmer. Hobbs. Okay.
No, there you go. Al, you've done some film work, and some of those have been kind of horror-oriented, correct?
Yeah, I worked on a film up around here. It was called Lake Erie, surprisingly. So there's one of those here. And it was a horror film about Seven Deadly Sins, and I was Wrath. I don't see it, that really tested my acting skills because I'm not that angry. Alice D was another horror film that I worked on. The Haunting of Alice D, I'm sorry. So I've had some experience in several different, genres of horror, and then worked in a couple comedies. And then it was The Witches of Oz. So it was another story about, like, The Wizard of Oz. So
did you find that experience fulfilling?
I enjoy it. It's a natural extension of what I've been doing in wrestling, but it's not the same at all. I mean, can't make the assumption that just because you have done or had success in, like, you read a wrestling that you just walk over and be an actor. It's a completely different world, completely different skills. And so I just look at it the same as what I did as far as wrestling, paying my dues and learning my way as I go.
What was the biggest difference for you? Was it, like, because I know that in when you're on set, it's hurry up and wait, hurry up and wait.
It is a lot of, it is not as, as exciting and as romantic as you think it is. It is redundant, and God, can it be a pain in the ass. But with wrestling, the difference is the magic of wrestling is that there, contrary to popular belief, if it's done correctly, there is no script at all. You have an outline in your head, but you're working towards just creating a moment. Sometimes it takes months to build to that one moment that you and that audience share, and that moment will only exist in that time. Even if you film it, you watch it back, it's never the same as it is when you're there present physically in that moment, and you get to create, you and the audience get to create that together. And that's what all of wrestling is to work towards those moments that last only 3 seconds or 30 seconds or a minute, but they're to create those moments and those memories. And film, one of the biggest differences is that film lasts forever. It's, you can watch it over and over again and you can have a very similar experience. But with wrestling, you have that, it's that immediacy, it's that lives in that moment and that's it. In wrestling too, you have to work towards the cheap seats. Those are the most important seats in the building. They have to be able to see and experience it as well as everybody down on the floor. Well, in when you're on camera, you've got to work to and pull all of that energy in, where in wrestling, you're trying to fill a room of 20,000 or 50,000 or, sometimes 10, they come to watch me. Fill that building with your persona, your personality, your energy. And then on camera, you've got to take all of that and squeeze it down because you can overload the camera. And one of the hardest parts was learning that, hey, if I screw up, we'll just do another take. Where in wrestling, you don't get another take. You're live, you're there, and you have to be in that moment, and you have to deliver and connect. Because if you miss the mark, you know, you don't get another shot.
Rhino, I'm going to ask a quick question that I've had in my mind for a very long time, and it is maybe more geared towards wrestling than comics. Do you have a favorite gore? I know you probably gored thousands of people, actually, but do you have any that you're like, oh yeah, that was a really good one?
I would eventually say Michelle Pfeiffer.
that's future.
One day. You know, like Al said, you know, you're creating that moment right there live with a person, even if you can watch it back on TV. And, you know, and I love independent wrestling shows. I love independent, you know, also, you know, WWE or Impact. You know, I enjoy those shows. But, you know, if you're ever on the fence about going to a show, whether it's an independent show, whether it's a pay-per-view, whether, you know, just go. Because there's probably going to be something, you know, magnificent that will happen on that show that you'll remember for the rest of your life. Whether you go with a friend, a kid, your child, or whatever. You know, because I see a lot of mothers and daughters and mothers and sons, or fathers and sons, fathers and daughters, and go to wrestling events and share that. It's a family thing too. But getting to answering your question and the importance of going to a show, the best gore I've hit on anybody, with The Rock, I mean, Rock would take it great, but the guy's name is Game Boy, and it was in Cadillac, Michigan, and there's probably about 1,000 people there. And you've wrestled in that building in Cadillac. It's a civic center, yeah. So WWE used to go there all the time too. But I don't know what it was. He turned around. I mean, if I folded, you've seen me on TV fold people in half, but holy shit, I don't know what was in my step that night. I mean, this guy, like the people, you can probably find it on YouTube. But it was...
Or America's Most Wanted.
Right.
Issue of Cops.
Right. But yeah, it was just like, holy shit, you know? And even when I watch it back, but being in there live and you can see the people in the audience just come up like, oh my God, what just had happened? I should have had him kick out. No, but I don't think he could have. But yeah, that was the greatest
one.
I like the way you say that. You're like, I should have had him kick out. I don't think he could have.
Al, question for you. How many styrofoam heads did you go through in your career?
I've been very, very loyal to Head. We have maintained a monogamous relationship. Head's hard to find. So, you know, so you just go waltzing around and nope, Head falls in your lap. Boy, do I wish it would.
All right. Audience, if you have any questions, now's the time. We're going to start kind of wrapping things up. So do you have, sir?
Yeah, I got a question for Al.
I don't know who's going to win the Ukraine-Russian thing. Well, that's anybody's game right now.
Like Rhino was saying with memories with parents and kids going to shows and whatnot, the first live shows I ever went to, I grew up in the Mexican Town area, Aztec Hall, Midwest Championship Wrestling.
Aztec Hall, yeah.
Wild Bunch.
Yes.
And I was a big fan of the Wild Bunch. But do you remember those days? And how did that
play your career going on? I mean, CTE is a real issue. But yeah, I remember that. I love, you know, with Mike Kelly. And, you know, awesome guy, awesome friend, awesome partner. And you know, going to Aztec Hall and going and wrestling there in front of the audience and stuff was awesome. Listen, people ask me all the time. And I mean, I'm very sincere when I say this. Like, people go, you know, what's your favorite match? And I go, every one of them. Because I got in an argument with Mick Foley, what a surprise, about this once. He's like, you can't Big Wood, you can't, because he can't. Well, good for him, he can. But, you know, every time I've gotten to go to the ring is the most awesome time in my life. I've been very blessed to get to do what I've been able to do for as long as I've got to do it. So, like, Aztec Hall.
Yeah.
You know, was, you know, it, to me, getting to wrestle in Aztec Hall, and some people go, oh, especially if I say this around, you know, WWE locker room or, you know, the office where we all drink Kool-Aid. it's the same. It was, honest to God, it was the same as working in WrestleMania. I mean, every time I get to go to the ring, it's like the most, how people can quantify, well, this was, that's like, you know, I don't know. I like, if you love doing something and you love it so much, how can you pick just one that was like, well, that one was really good. This one kind of sucked, but this one was better. You know, there was no time that there are times where the experience is better because the, you know, I can create better because the person I'm working with or dancing with is on the same page. It's a little easier. But at the same time, though, I get to go and do it, you know, and yet nobody's figured out. I don't have a clue what the fuck I'm doing. So.
Well, he was also part of the Fabulous Kangaroos.
I was, yes. I'm very proud of that, too. Yeah. I really am, honestly. Like, Kangaroo, the Al Costello, you know, I don't know if you guys listened to Gordon Solie back in the day, you know, when he would do commentary, and it was Australian rules tag team matches. So, they, you know, Al was instrumental because he came from Australia. Well, that's where kangaroos are. And we can get into a whole thing about why they employ kangaroos in the back of their fast food restaurants to make my goddamn sandwich in here wrong. Anyways, that's another story. And Al helped introduce tag team wrestling into American society. So, you know, and to get to be a part of that lineage was really a big honor. And Dennis Casper was an awesome guy, was my partner, and, you know, it was just, I was very fortunate to be involved in that.
How about some more questions? Right there, sir, in the lion's shirt.
Right, you said you restored classic boats. Do you have a favorite period of American history, or is it just...
You know, the mahogany speedboats like Chris Craft, I don't know if you guys ever heard of Chris Craft. They're down in Florida now. They moved down there in the late 60s, early 70s, but I think it was the early 70s they moved Total Operations down there. They were out in Algonac, and the old factory is now a marina. Chris Craft is a big part of, you know, Michigan history too, you know, manufacturing. A lot of boat manufacturers came from Michigan because what they would do is they get, like, leftover parts from the auto company. So if you look at, like, the I'd say late 40s, early 50s, or all throughout the 50s, a lot of the steering wheels on boats were what you'd find in a Buick or a Ford or whatever, right? Because they'd just go to the Ford manufacturer, Buick or whatever, and say, hey, what steering wheels do you have left over? And they get them for pennies on the dollar. So I like Lyman boats. They were made in Sandusky. They're out of business. I think in the late 70s, early 80s, they went out of business, but... my favorite time period would probably have to be the 60s, and pre-war I like, but, you know, some of them are fetching big money, and, you know, and sometimes it's just, you know, to get one that you'd have to restore, it costs too much, and it's not enough, you know, you don't want to invest money into something like that, because you won't get it out, you know, so, but I would probably have to say 60s if I was held to it, but 50s are kind of nice, 40s, you know, 40s Chris Crafts are cool, so.
Some more questions, sir? Right in front.
As far as your comic book goes, during the holidays, were you thinking of doing like a holiday themed Al Snow comic book? Like,
that's a great idea.
Like, yeah, with Christmas McFoley, because on WWE dressed as Santa, or during Halloween, Undertaker and Kane, or Valentine's Day, Al Snow and Rhino and Michelle Pfeiffer.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's something like idea. That.
It's like,
you
I
know.
Just got an energy drink.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's awesome. And literally, I helped an agent a match years ago in Sandusky, Ohio.
Yes.
The
yeah,
day, yeah,
the Santa
day after Christmas, and that was where Santa wrestled Jesus. So,
had Jesus taste Santa, or
had Jesus taste for Santa?
Jeez.
And because Jesus got a little verbose with the tasering. Now, no surprise, Jesus was wanting to turn the other cheek. You know what I mean? I had to convince Jesus to taser Santa. I mean, you know, that was a conversation. It was like, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, just do it. God damn it. You know. And Jesus was reluctant, I have to tell you. He was reluctant to taser Santa. And then I convinced him. And Jesus did taser Santa. And then it was as if Santa had a rope tied to the back of his ass, and he just went, boom! And then someone in the building, I'm not going to say who, started to chant one more time. He had already clipped Santa, apparently, when he put the taser in Santa's ample gut. Apparently tapped one of his testicles with it, too. So Santa was writhing on the mat after being pinned, after being tasered, and again, somebody, I don't know who that bastard was, but started the chant one more time, which surprisingly picked up pretty quick. And a kind of reticent Jesus was all on board, and he ran over as Santa was on his belly and proceeded to stick it on his kidney and hold it there as Santa's feet started kicking like he was swimming upstream and started to scream. It was so funny. And then again, and Jesus stopped, you know what I mean? And apparently Santa had wet himself from the current coursing through his bladder. And somebody again, God, that bastard, started a one more time chant again. I don't know who that was. Such an asshole. And so Jesus again was like, this is great. So he goes to approach Santa, and Santa takes the heel of his boot and kicks Jesus right in the head of the dick. Jesus went down. So when we got back to the back, I convinced Jesus it was wrong to taser Santa because we only agreed to one. Jesus gave him two. So now Santa had to get one back on Jesus. And he did.
In the locker room.
In the locker room. And stick Jesus hold his arm up. And Santa stuck it right to our only begotten son. And he shot across. Don't ever let me talk you into anything. I've got so many stories that I can tell you about the times I've talked to different people, including little people, to get tasered.
You know, here's the thing. Everybody thinks that, you know, or it's a big party or he's strippers or whatever. No, we're talking about tasing each other and reading comic books. And
Yeah, it's not what you think it is.
It's way better. It's
like, we went on this trip one time to the Bahamas. That sounds awesome, doesn't it? No, it wasn't. The whole time, because my wife went with me, I went, thank God you're here. I said, because there's no way you would believe. Because what ended up happening, we flew into like Nassau, like, oh, this is awesome, right? The next day we get on this plane that literally, if you didn't have enough air, you just rolled the fucking window down and you were flying over an ocean. First time ever in the history of flying that I've flown thousands and thousands of flights, I actually paid attention to the emergency protocols. And I was like, I might need these. So we land at this island that looked like a hurricane just went through, and there's grass growing up through the landing strip, and it's literally the airport is an airport, a hair salon, and like a tire care center. It's so small. And we, drive out in the middle of nowhere to this abandoned, it's on the Learning Channel. They have a show where these two people bought it and are restoring it as a resort. And now, we're being told it's like five-star resort and all of this,
Is that on HGTV?
Yes, it's on HGTV.
Yeah, I see that.
We went there before there were any cameras or anything. And the rooms didn't have water, didn't have air conditioning. It was insane.
Yeah.
And we literally had to con a guy because they took us out in the middle of nowhere, and they didn't feed us for hours, and we had to convince this guy who brought propane gas to grill, like, these people move on their own time frame, nothing happens fast. We had to go to Millie's. It was this house that was a store. They just had shelves built with 2x4s and plywood. The coolers for the drinks were old beat up refrigerators that looked like it had been hit by a car. And Millie would work in her kitchen, which you could look in. There's like a casserole dish that's still got the casserole stuff in it, sitting in the window with flies flying over it with water so that, soaking it to kind of scrape it out. And we get conch sandwiches. Do you know what a conch is? That big shell you pick up and it has a creature in it called a conch. It's a big mussel. And, I'm like, I'll take a conch sandwich. And she's like, that's not with a K, that's with an H. And I'm like, thank you very much, Dick. And they have to take a hammer and beat the thing to soften it up so they can hit deep fry it, put it in a bun, and give you a conch sandwich. And that was all we had to eat. I'm like, thank God my wife's here. Because she even said, no, he's down there, he's having a good time, he's in the Bahamas, he's on the beach. No, I was kidnapped. Take it to a resort. On this island, looked like a hurricane. The cars are flipped over. I'm like, the hell is going on? These crabs were in mating season, the one giant claw running everywhere at night. It's a horror story. It was like the island of Dr. Moreau. I mean, I just kept expecting humans that would have been transmorphed with animals to come walking out at any moment.
Probably would have been a lot better if you were drinking down there. Wow, this looks real fucking fun.
Awesome, yeah.
Let's tip another car over. Give me one of those honk sandwiches.
Big.
Yeah. All right, how about one more question for everybody up here, and then we'll start wrapping things up. You, sir?
Rhino, given that your time with Heath for many years now, how did that come about?
I don't really know. We weren't actually supposed to... I think it was only supposed to last a couple weeks, but we did a little thing in the trailer park, his home and all that stuff, and it got over, and it was so funny, and people just loved us right off the bat together, and I think it's one of those odd couples, you know, and we just played off each other, and I actually talked to him earlier today, but he became a real close friend, and what a great guy, too. Everybody in the locker room loves him. He's a cool dude. He's funny. He's not afraid to make fun of himself. As you can see on TV, he'll go out there and say one thing. He's a really smart guy and a real fun guy. And I mean, that's a guy you want to hang out with, you know, whether you're out drinking a couple beers or whether you're just traveling down the road. And I'll tell you a quick story, but, you know, Al came up in the days where you save your receipts, you add them up at the end of the year, you know, or quarterly or whatever. You know, so a lot of the guys, they wouldn't rib me, but they're like, oh, that's cool. You know, you keep your receipts, you know, just to let you know if you use a credit card, they'll itemize it for you and all that at the end of the year. And I'm like, yeah, I feel like they might miss something, you know, write off or something. So that's why I keep my receipts in a fanny pack and all that. And we had the day off. We weren't on the pay-per-view, so we had like a 3.5-hour drive. We get up, we drive a little bit, we eat. We go to the gas station, and Heath's pockets were shallow. So when he went to the bathroom, his wallet fell out. So he didn't know that. So we drive about 2.5-3 hours. And then he goes to get his wallet, and he's like, oh, my God, I think it fell out. I go, well, I'll call the gas station. He goes, how do you even know where we're at? I go, I bought a water, and on the receipt. He never fucking said one word about collecting receipts again, and they had the wallet, and we ended up driving back. He's like, I'll just drop you off at the hotel, and I'll drive back. I go, hey, man, we're in it together. So we're going to go to a baseball game that day. We're going to get a good steak. We're going to work out and all that shit. So we ended up spending like 9-10 hours in the car when it should only been a 3-hour drive. Yeah. So, but the money was there. Someone found it, gave it to the guy. And yeah, but no, he became a real good friend. And, you know, and yeah, so it just came about. Yeah, I don't know who said, hey, let's just put them together. I think Vince was looking to put someone with them anyway. So. Might have been his call, but it just worked right off the bat. So.
All right, let's run down social media and websites and all that stuff. Eric, we'll start with you. Tell us about Broken Icon Comics.
Simple, everything's Broken Icon Comics. Website's brokeniconcomics.com. All social media is Broken Icon, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all that stuff.
Al, where can folks find you on the internet?
Usually in jail. at the Real Al Snow, because there have been some fakes. Before you got those little check marks and all that, there still are a couple people that do it. And if you want to do it, that's fine. You're not going to upset me. I will message you and go, please aim the bar higher. You're going to fake being a celebrity. What the fuck? Seriously. Why are you not George Clooney or Brad Pitt? For God's sakes, Neil Armstrong, he's the first man on the moon. You know, I'm going to be Al Snow. That's what I'm going to do because that's really going to get me over. Hey, it hasn't worked for me yet. You can give it a shot too. If it does, give me a call. Tell me what I'm doing wrong.
Rhino, where can folks find you on social media?
I really
media?
Don't do social media.
Okay.
Yeah. There's a Twitter account. I think someone, like, got into it and took it, and they actually—I don't think they actually fake posted about me. Like, it's funny, there are some fake ones out there. I think a real wrestling fan just got into it because if you don't post a while or something, yeah, it happened before, and WWE got it back, and then the guy took it over, and he'll just post some of his stuff on there. Yeah,
that's cool.
It's like, hey,
takes the pressure off. Right? I mean, anybody wants to do that for me? You just post your own shit on mine. I mean, I'm sure it's infinitely much more fascinating than what I'm doing.
Right, right. Yeah, the Instagram. It's like everybody's like, "What's your Instagram?" It's like, I haven't posted on that for so long. I don't know how to get on there. You know, it's on my old phone, so. But yeah, I just don't, you know, even though there are it's very important and it's a good way to, you know, follow people and, you know, the fake Al Snows too. I was following the one fake Al Snow, so.
Yeah. That way you get on there and be part of the cancel culture. You know what I mean? That's where it's at. And listen, I was getting canceled long before you guys thought about it and even came up with the idea of canceling people.
Yeah.
I'm still number five on the top things that Walmart will not sell because it's a danger to the community.
Right.
Fucking Barbie beat me out for number one because she's a slut.
On that note, gentlemen, I have to end it. I mean, you can't keep going. Gentlemen, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
So much for coming out and talking to us. Thank you all for coming as well.
Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen, the wrestling and comics panel from the Monroe Pop Fest just a few months ago. I want to thank Eric and Nick and Rhino and Al for participating. I want to thank everybody who showed up and who took a seat and watched and enjoyed this panel discussion as well. And, you know, I'm looking forward to next year and maybe doing some more panels up in Monroe or other places. It was a whole lot of fun for me. I really dug it. And with that, I think I probably need to stop rambling here and just start telling you about some important info, like where you can get in hold of me if you have any questions about this episode or any episode of the PVD cast. Let me tell you, first off, you can find me on Twitter. My personal Twitter handle is @PVDMVP. You can leave me a message over on the Facebook and Instagram feeds. Just search for @PVDcast. And you can even shoot me an email if you want to be old school. JohnOrlando@PVDcast.com is that email address. Maybe you want to let some folks know where they can hear this great podcast. Well, there's a bunch of avenues for that. First of all, PVDcast.com is the online home of yours truly and the easiest way to get every single episode. But it's also available through all of those other major podcasting outlets. You know, like iHeartRadio app or iTunes or Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Deezer, Spotify, etc., etc. All you have to do is go to your favorite podcasting app, put PVDcast in the search bar. Sometimes you have to put my name after it, and you should find it. There's even a more simple way to check out every single weekly episode, and that is to go over to the Facebook page, and on Wednesday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, I do a little Facebook broadcast where you can catch the week's episode. So there you go. Three different ways to hear the PVD cast. But no matter how you choose, you need to help me out. If you listen to an episode through one of those podcasting apps, please rate and review. It helps me out so much. It pushes me up on the algorithm, and it's super important for the hosting companies of these podcasts, as well as myself, to know who's listening and where they're listening from, and et cetera, et cetera. We need the data. So again, if you could rate and review, you can give me as many stars as you want. You can write whatever you like. Just please make sure that you do that. And if you're somebody that checks out the Facebook broadcast, like it. It helps me out again. And of course, I would be remiss if I didn't mention that you should, of course, subscribe so that you never miss an episode of the PVD cast. Of course, that's if you're listening through one of those great podcasting apps. So with that out of the way, ladies and gentlemen, I think it's time for me to wrap up this episode. So I'm going to get on out of here. I want to thank you once again for checking out the episode. And I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous, stay independent, and stay safe and healthy. The following has been a presentation of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC. Copyright 2022.